Amen. All right, I appreciate you standing. Now, I'd just like for us to think on this thought a little while tonight. Why missions? As we've read the scripture at hand tonight, we've read about a man that was, he was rich and he had plenty, and he was a farmer, and he had a very great harvest, and he thought to himself, said, "What am I going to do? I don't have anywhere to put all of this stuff that God's given me." He said, "I'm going to pull down my barns." He said, "I'm going to build bigger barns." He began to make plans. The wheels began to turn. This man was a businessman, Brother Norman, and as he thought, he began how to take care of all of this so that this profit would be a help to him, and he could put it up, and he was thinking completely along the lines of earthly goods. And you know that the Bible says there that he was just going to put all of that up and take it easy and eat and drink and be merry. But the Bible said in verse number 20, "But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." Can I say there is a great need for missions? Why missions? Because I want to give you some statistics. And I understand it's hard to find 1.8 people anywhere. But according to statistics, 1.8 people die every second. They leave this world and go out into eternity. You may say, "Well, that's not a lot." 1.8. 1.8 every second leave this world and go out to eternity, whether they go to heaven or whether they go to hell. Every single second, 1.8 people leave this world. If 1.8 people die every second and leave this world, there's 108 people every minute leave this world and go out into eternity. People that are going to, their soul is going to spend eternity in heaven or in hell. 1.8 people every second. 108 people every minute. 6,480 every hour that we live, somebody goes out into eternity. 6,480 every hour. 155,520 people every day. 56,764,800 souls every year go out into eternity. You see, this rich man, he thought everything was hunky-dory. Everything was all right. His life was on a good track. He didn't have anything to worry about. He'd put a whole lot up. And man, I'm telling you, he was set. He had it all figured out. He knew exactly what he wanted to do in life. But he didn't know that night that his soul was going to be required of him. Can I say, there are people every day that leave this world. 2 weeks ago last night, some of you probably heard there was a couple in our church got hit head on by a young boy and a young girl. It killed that young boy, 22 years old, instantly on the spot. And it killed the girl that was with him. She was 24 years old, left 4 children behind. I'm telling you, they never thought when they left the house that night, or even when they left the ferry at Gray, Tennessee, coming back towards Mountain City, they never thought, Brother Dale, that they would go out into eternity. And listen, they left this world. And for the most part of what I've heard, they didn't really have any testimony of being saved. I didn't know them, but I'd heard so many stories about them and knew their lifestyles. And they went out into eternity. Can I say it's not just in Mountain City, Tennessee? It's not just in Watauga County, North Carolina. Why missions? Because people are dying and going to hell every day. It's a real place. It is a literal burning fire. Oh, it doesn't make any difference what the modern pulpit politicians say. There is a place called hell. I read in Luke chapter number 16. Over there it said there was a rich man. Oh, and the Bible said he lifted up his eyes in hell and he was suffered in the torments, in the flames, and it's a real place. But when I think about missions and I think about somebody's got to get to them, somebody's got to tell them about Jesus. Listen, it's not everywhere like it is here. There's a Baptist church on about every corner. I'm telling you, there's been so many splits and splinters and schisms that there's a little old church everywhere and all of them's preaching something different for the most part. Can I tell you what we need is some missionaries that will go and that will tell folks of the true condition of their soul. They need to know what their destiny is going to be. They need to know there was a man named Jesus went to the cross of Calvary and shed his blood and paid a price that we couldn't pay so they could have eternal life. Somebody's got to tell them. When I think about missionaries, I think about a lot of pastors even that I've talked to. And you ask them about missionaries, and I'm talking about churches that have 80, 100 people in them, and we talk about mission. Oh yeah, I believe in missions. Well, how many missionaries you support? Oh, we've got two. Yeah. Two? Yeah. Well, I don't really get that, preacher.
Right.
But that's because I've seen it. I've seen how it works. Folks have not been exposed to missions. Folks have not seen. Listen, a missionary, according to just the paperwork, and according to just the money end of it, Brother Dwight, missionaries are a bad business decision. Because it's money going out. It's an expenditure. But can I tell you, spiritually, brother, there's not a better decision that you could make than to support missionaries. God said, listen, I'm concerned about those souls. Can I remind you, he's still willing that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's still wanting folks to turn to Jesus. He's still wanting folks to know that he's in heaven and he loved them enough to send his son to die for each and every one so that we can have eternal life. I know a lot of people say, or a lot of churches, they may look at it that missionaries just, there's just somebody that comes by every once in a while begging money. Oh, but can I say, a church that supports missions will be blessed beyond measure. You cannot get around missions. It is the very heartbeat of God Himself. I'm telling you, the heartbeat from the throne of God is missions. It's missions. It's missions because He is interested in souls. When I think about missions and what God is doing through the local church, and let me say this, and I'm not trying to be mean or critical to anybody, but a church that does not support missions is not a church. Amen. I'm just going to tell you the way God dealt with me. And you know, in this part of the mountains, we've got Baptist churches and missionary Baptist churches. And in other places, Missionary Baptist is an association. They have an association called the Missionary Baptist. And let me just tell you where the difference lies. Back in the early 1900s, there were some that were Calvinists, the hard shell Baptist and ones, and they did not believe in missions because they believe in the old Calvinism. Some are born to be saved and some are born to be lost. There's an elect and a select, and those that's going to go to heaven couldn't go to hell for nothing, and those that's going to hell couldn't go to heaven for nothing. That's a bunch of hogwash. Amen. He said, whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And you know what? There were some folks that said, hey, I'm not going that route. I believe we ought to witness to folks. I believe whosoever will can come and be saved. And they said, we're going to split off from that outfit. And they're the old-timey Baptists that were predestinationists. And then you got the ones that said, we're going to be missionary Baptists. And we're going to send missionaries. Amen. And there was a big debate. Well, it wasn't a big debate, but when I went to Midway, it was Midway Missionary Baptist Church. And then some things had Midway Baptist Church. And some of the paperwork was set up for Midway Missionary Baptist Church. The checks were set up Midway Baptist Church. And just to be honest, it got a little confusing to me. So I said, here's what we're going to do. Everything is going to be Midway Baptist Church. Oh, we're changing the name of the church. I said, I don't know if we're changing or not. Half of you thinks one thing, half of you thinks something else. But here's the thing. If we're going to be a true church, if we're going to be a true Baptist church, we're going to have to send missionaries. You cannot send missionary or not send missionaries and be a true Bible-believing church. But I've thought about what it is to send missionaries, and what a blessing it's been for missionaries to come by our church. And I get to, listen, I've made some really good friends that are missionaries, and they're on the field. And hey, listen, even when Brother Wynn was out in Idaho, man, we like to go out there and I like to see what God was doing out there. But listen, when we think about missionaries and we think about how that they come by and introduce themselves to us. When I walked in the back door back there tonight, I shook hands with Brother Wynn, and then I shook hands with Brother Matt Olson, a real, live, breathing missionary. Now that may not be such a big thing to you, but can I tell you, I grew up in denominationalism.
Right.
Amen. Amen. I never knew what a missionary was. We gave to the convention or the association, and the association sent it to somebody that we didn't know anything about. We didn't know what they preached, didn't know what they believed. We didn't know who they were. And it still operates the same way. They get out of seminary and they are hired on. And you send such a percentage of the money to them, the convention hires them, puts them on a plane or wherever they're going, sends them to a place, and they do their thing. Well, what are they doing? Who knows? But can we pray for them? Well, sure, you can pray for them, but wouldn't it be a whole lot better to have a face to put with that name?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be a whole lot better if they come and preach and you know, Brother Melvin, what they're preaching? You know what they believe? Hey, they may be preaching out of just anything and everything, what a lot of them call these new versions and everything else. But hey, I am telling you, when a missionary comes by, it is a privilege for the local church to be able to meet a missionary, shake his hand, say, we love you, we're praying for you, we're behind you. And if the church believes they ought to take him on, take him on. And when he sees folks saved out there on that field, I believe God puts it on that local church's account. God says, I'm well pleased with you, church. Well, I better get with it. I will say this. God will bless missions to the place that when the problems seem to overtake. Now, I know you can't imagine a Baptist church having money problems. But it happens, especially when they won't support missions.
Right.
But even still, sometimes things happen. Dr. Harold Zeiler was probably one of the greatest Baptist pastors there's ever been. Some of you may have heard this, but Dr. Zeiler kept a stack of missionary letters on his desk. And anytime there was a problem in the church, he'd take that letter and he'd say, we're taking them on for support. You say, what if it was a money problem? We're taking them on by support. Well, that doesn't sound smart. Well, the only problem is God said, if you'll send them, I'll take care of your needs. Amen. He said in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. And I'll talk a little more about that, but I've got to get with it tonight. I want to talk about why missions. Why missions? I'll say, when those 1.8 souls every second die and go out into eternity. You know, in Matthew 7:13 said, enter ye in at the straight gate, because broad is the gate and wide is the way which leadeth unto destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. He said in verse 14, enter ye in at the straight gate, for straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Oh, I want to say tonight, as folks are leaving eternity, there's many going on the broad road, there's many going down the way of the world, and there's just a few that are going down the straight and narrow. A lot of people say, preacher, you're awful narrow-minded. Yes, I am, but God's got a narrow mind about this thing too. I believe with all of my heart that there's just a small minority of people in this world that we live in that are looking forward to what the Lord Jesus Christ has got for them on the other side. Oh, they want to go, but they want to go anyway. And I still believe they ain't but one way. He still said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I think about missions. I looked up mission out there in my big Webster's dictionary a while ago, and the definition of mission is a sending or being sent or delegated by authority with certain powers for transacting business. Missionaries are sent by the local church. But it's God's business. It's God's business that he's transacting. I want you to think back over in Exodus chapter number 2. I just got to give you this. I come across this a few weeks ago, and man, I like to have me a spell. I started to preach it at church, and God moved in, didn't even get to preach all of it, so you might get a wagon load tonight. I was reading over there in Exodus chapter number 2. And of course, you know how it was. The Israelites had been down in Egypt, and they needed a deliverer, some kind of bad. Oh, they were down in Egypt, which is the top of the world. They were down there under Pharaoh, which is the top of the devil. We had seen over there that he was tearing them up, and he was working them with rigor. I believe it's that word rigor means to fracture, to tear apart. And they were all down there under the bondage of Pharaoh. They were down there in Egypt, and they needed a deliverer, some kind of bad. Can I tell you, Brother Dale, what God did? God sent somebody to let them know that he's still thinking about them. And you think about it, how God prepared Moses and everything that come to pass. I don't have time to go all through it. But listen, when it got over there, it said that she called his name Pharaoh because she drew him out of the water. Amen. And I got to thinking, right, here's your water. It's the type of the word. And I got to thinking about Moses being a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I got to thinking about him walking up off of the pages of that scripture. And then I got to thinking about how that God's preparing some missionaries. I'm telling you, some men around the world are reading the Word of God. And God's dealing with them and drawing them out through the preaching of the Word of God. And they are going, they're sent by God and going to show some folks that there is a way of deliverance. But I will say this, and I was going to preach on the Great Commission. I guess I better get to that. When we think about the Great Commission, we think of why mission. We think about the commission. I think about how, I believe it's in Mark chapter number 16. You don't have to turn over there, but I'll give you this in Mark chapter number 16 in verse number 20. Let me just give you 15. He said, unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. He goes on down, he says in verse number 20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Can I say that's why it's a commission? Because it's not a by ourselves mission. He's got a commission in it with us. He's a taking care of his part if we'll do our part. But when you think about that great commission, of course, you're very familiar with Matthew chapter number 28 and verse number 20. Or about verse number 18, let me just start there. The Bible says, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. We see this commission, this last statement that he left for the disciples over there, and we call it the Great Commission. And it is not a suggestion. It is a commandment. He is telling the disciples, this is what you are to do. And Brother Stennett Ballou preaches a little outline where he said, well, he don't ever preach a little outline, but he's got an outline where he talks about it's our job to evangelize, to baptize, and to stabilize. Can I tell you, that's what the church is still supposed to be doing. We're still supposed to evangelize them. Amen. We're still supposed to let them know that they're a sinner in need of a Savior. We're supposed to evangelize them. We're supposed to let them know that Jesus loved them and died for them, gave his life on Calvary, and he had to go to a tomb. But he didn't stay in there for 3 days later. He was resurrected. I'm telling you, he took his blood and sprinkled it on the mercy seat in heaven, and God said, I'll take that sacrifice for the payment of sin. We've got to evangelize them and we're to baptize them. Of course, that's why we're Baptist. We're rebaptizers. Amen. Don't have time to get into that either. But then to stabilize them, we're to disciple them, teach them what the Word of God says. We're supposed to teach them about giving to missions and how to pray for missionaries. And of course, it's there, and it's in Mark, I've already read you that. But in Luke chapter number 24, I want to just give you a few thoughts right here in Luke chapter number 24. I'm still thinking on the thought of why missions. Now you've got to remember, these disciples have been on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus Christ came and walked with them. They were not even aware it was him until he opened the eyes of their understanding. But in verse number 45, I'm sorry, the Bible says, then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. I see a picture of the local church right there. I get to thinking there in verse number 46. He said, thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Oh, I see the message here when we see what he is instructing them to do. We see the message that Christ rose from the dead, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached. The message is repentance. The message is remission of sins. Thank God that he will forgive anyone that will come to him and ask for forgiveness and repent of their sins. Don't you want everybody else to have what you've got? Don't you want everybody to know that peace that you feel when you pillow your head of the night? Don't you just wish that everybody, when you go through town and you see all of the pitiful sights that we see, or when somebody has that road rage and they go by and they give you that one finger wave, don't you just feel sorry for them and you just wish that they knew what it was to have the love of God in their heart? Hey, I'm going to tell you, I wish everybody could have a little of what I got. But we see there's the message. And then we see the method. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name. Now, brother missionary, I don't know how they do it in Italy. I know how we preach in Tennessee, and they may not preach just exactly like that in Italy. I know they didn't preach like that in Idaho. Brother Wynn said, "Preacher, now you be careful, you'll scare them people to death." But you know what? That word preach, it means to tell. It means to proclaim. Amen. Somebody's got to tell them. Somebody's got to tell them. Right. 1.8 every second. 108 every minute. Somebody's got to tell them. Somebody's got to tell them. But as we're looking at this great commission, here we see not only the message, but we see the method, but then we see the method. He said it's got to be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And I don't have time to preach all of that, but I want to just give you this little outline here. I believe it'll be a help to you if you want to write it down, take it and study it. We see the message, we see the method, we see the mission. And in verse number 49, we see the ministration. He said, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Can I tell you, we've got to have the ministration of the Holy Spirit of God. The brother missionary sitting back there has got to have the touch of the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you the way we do it at our church, and I'm not suggesting this is the way you need to do it. But every fourth Wednesday night, I think I've told Brother Wynn this, every fourth Wednesday night, our folks pick out a missionary. And they get that missionary's letter every month or every other month or every 3 months. If it's anything more than 3 months, they better not do it too long or we won't support them anymore. But every fourth Wednesday night, we'll have our missions night, and whoever it is will take that letter for that missionary. And they'll report back to the church and tell what's happening with them and if they've got any needs or whatever. But we started that so that somebody was a praying for every missionary. Amen. Because they've got to have that ministration. It's just the same as here, Brother Dale. A man can stand in the pulpit and have all kind of swelling words, and he can be just as silver-tongued as anybody you've ever seen. But without the touch of the Holy Spirit, without the power of God on it, can I tell you that nobody can regenerate themselves? Still yet, nobody's being rehabilitated by the prisons and by the program. But I'm telling you, it's still the Lord Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit that's making new creatures. I'm telling you, new creatures in Christ. Amen. Got to have that ministration. Amen. But then I got to seeing something else. The Bible said he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. He left. And they worshiped him. And returned to Jerusalem with what? Great joy. There's the measure. You know what? He left and he gave them the instructions. And they purposed in their heart what it was going to be. And I believe they went to the house of God. And the Bible said they had great joy. Can I tell you that a church will never be satisfied if there's a bunch of saved people in it? A church will never be satisfied unless it's built on what the Word of God says. Unless it's built on the Scriptures that God gave us and we're operating in the way that He said to operate. I don't believe there'll ever be great joy around the church. Oh, I tell you, I've been to a lot of places and people look like they've lost their best friend. Look like their mother-in-law's moved in with them. Did I say that out loud? I love you, Shirley. But you know what? I like to go to the house of God and you see some joy. Amen. And you know that folks has got something that's real. Can I tell you what missions will do for your church? It'll bring folks together. It'll let them see the touch and the blessings of God. And it'll bring great joy around the house of God. Let me just give you one more thing. I've got to hurry along. If I don't quit, y'all might not let me come back anymore. The Bible said in verse number 53, and they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Don't you believe? I mean, look back there on the wall. All the missionaries that are preaching. Because you have given sacrificially. All of those folks that are carrying the gospel, not only in the United States of America, but all around the world. Don't you reckon that God will bless around His house? Don't you believe that that the church will praise and bless the good God of heaven because He's visiting with them? Can I tell you, I've been in a lot of dead, dried up services before, but I like to be in the place where there's some praising and blessing God going on. And do you know that when we honor Him by giving to missions and praying for missionaries and we're trying to see folks saved worldwide, He'll show up on the scene and man, we'll have some services. Well, now I'll get to the Great Commission. Acts 1 and 8. Everybody knows this by heart probably. Bible says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Jesus gave the commission. That was the last thing He told the disciples. As we've seen in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We see it here in Acts chapter number 1. That was the very last command that He gave. Can I say His last command should be our first concern? It should be our first concern. Preacher, there's no way. You're exactly right. There's no way. Because if you'll take that verse and you'll look, verse number 8, but ye shall receive power. First of all, we need that ministration of the Holy Spirit. Amen. He said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem. And I know there's more than two there, but it means all of them when it says both. It says both in Jerusalem. And in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Preacher, there's no way we can go to all them places. Well, that's exactly right. You cannot go to all of those places, especially at one time. So how are we doing it? We're sending missionaries. They're dropping off into hell. Somebody's got to tell them. Why missions? Because they're going out into eternity. And listen, I know Watauga County is your Jerusalem. Johnson County, Tennessee is my Jerusalem. He said, you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Amen. And don't you believe? Don't you really believe
that if God's wanting to see folks saved, that He'll bless a church that has a heart for missions. He'll bless a church that has a heart for the souls of men and women and boys and girls. Don't you think that we can have a little touch of old time Holy Ghost power? Don't you believe we can have some? Hey, listen, I get so sick and tired. I mean, I'm glad they had it back on. Brother, I get sick and tired of hearing how good it used to be.
Right.
Can I tell you, God's still on the throne. Amen. He's still the same God. He hadn't changed one bit. And He's still wanting to see a lot of praising and blessing God around the house of God. How will it happen? It'll happen because we're doing it His way, and those that honor Him, He'll honor them. You mark it down. Oh, there's so much I'd like to preach. I see in all of them things there that He said, all of those places. And it's got to have a special touch. It's got to have the ministration. It's got to have a miraculous touch. Now, preacher, I don't know if this really fits or not, but it did to me. And you'll kindly figure out I'm weird in my thinking sometimes, and I don't ever have a deep thought, and don't even know what that is. But I got to thinking about the last of all of the Gospels. And He gave them the go and preach the Gospel to every creature. Go and teach, evangelize, baptize, stabilize. Told them, go and preach repentance and remission of sins. I got to thinking about the book of John. I turned over there and looked at the end of the book of John. I want you to look at the last verse in the book of John. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. You know what I think of when I read that, Brother Finley? I think about all the miracles that He did. And I think about what's recorded, and I can't even get my mind around that. But I can tell you this, we've got a miraculous God. A miraculous God. Can I tell you what a miracle is? You take somebody that lives a large portion of their life and shakes their fist in God's face and says, I don't need You, I'm going to do it my way. Somebody that's not the least bit concerned about spiritual things or about the church or the Bible. Folks that will cuss God and just do any old way. And it's a miracle that He'll send the Holy Ghost of God to come and deal with that heart, break that heart and make it soft.
Right.
See their need and then give them the grace.
Amen.
That they can be saved.
Amen.
He's a God of miracles. I'll give you this and I'm done. I made a reference back to Moses a while ago, and even in the Old Testament, God had a concern that He was sending preachers and sending people to tell folks that there's deliverance available.
Amen.
Many of you have studied about Jonah. And you've studied about Nineveh, and you see that, number one, it's a city of sinful deeds. It's a wicked city. It was a city of social destitution. A city of spiritual darkness. But even through all of that, it was a city of sovereign desire. God said, I want it for myself. And He sent Jonah. And it was a miracle. And all we've got to do is look around and watch the news. And we can see that we're pretty well in the same shape. But in the midst of all of this, and in the midst of all of that, God wanted folks to know that he loved them. God wanted folks to know that he had a place for them if they would bow to him and worship him. How bad did God want Nineveh saved? I want you to listen to these. How bad did God want Nineveh saved? Bad enough to overlook the fact that they're Gentiles. Bad enough to send them a preacher. Bad enough to send a storm while he's running from God. Bad enough to prepare a whale. Bad enough to spare Jonah. Bad enough to speak the second time. Bad enough to cause Nineveh to repent. Bad enough to hear their prayers. And bad enough to send revival. And if he wanted them saved that bad in the Old Testament, in this dispensation of grace, in the church age, how much does he want sinners saved? How far will God go to save sinners? He went to the Garden of Eden for two people. He had Noah to build an ark for one family. Sent Moses into Egypt for one nation. He sent his only begotten son for the world. Amen. He started the church and he's kept it going. He calls missionaries and sends them. He calls his pastors to have missions conferences and then calls his people to give and to pray for missions. Why missions? Somebody's got to tell them. Now I want to go back to my text right quickly, and I promise you I'm done. Luke chapter number 12. I want you to put the shoe on the other foot for this man in this parable. First, we read about the man that he went out into eternity, was unprepared to meet God. But I don't believe it's really taking things out of context if you look at it. And you see that there was a man. He was a rich man and his ground brought forth plentifully. He said, what am I going to do? I don't have room to store all my goods. I'm going to tear down my barns and I'm going to build greater. And that night he left this world. Can I tell you, in the United States of America, we've been blessed beyond measure. You may not like this. But when the poorest people in your nation have two cars and can be overweight, wear $200 tennis shoes, cell phones, iPods, face tubes, all that stuff, we ain't real poor. We're blessed. But I'm afraid there's a lot of folks, born again Christians, have never been taught about missions, or maybe they have been, but they were too attached to their stuff and their money. They died and left this world. Can I tell you what's going to happen to all the money that's left behind when we leave here? Of course, ain't none of mine going to be left behind, I promise you that. But when the church leaves, all of the wealth, all of the goods are going to be used by the Antichrist. And just to make a long story short, he's going to use your money to kill 2/3 of the Jews. God's people. That's a whole nother prophecy issue. I'm not going to get into that. But wouldn't it be bad to leave this world with all that we've got go before the judgment seat of Christ and say, you know, I should have given more to missions. There wouldn't have been so many people went to hell. Same chapter, Luke 12, verse number 34. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I'd like to have every head bowed, every eye closed, please. Thank you for your good attention. I appreciate you praying for me. I appreciate you praying for the meeting.